immortal words of Judy Brown. Happiness is a choice. We're happy you spent some time with us on an Overreaction Monday. It's Chip and it's Zay holding it down for you right here on the midday on Texas Sports Unfiltered on December 15th in the year of our Lord, 2025. Zay, we are 10 days until Christmas. Are you ready?
Yeah, what do they say? It's the most wonderful time of the year. So, hell yeah, I'm ready. Feeling good, man. Feeling great. Chip, how are you?
Well, I don't know if you can see the sweat pouring off of me. I just went out and tried to get some, like, shopping done. I needed to pick up some stuff, but I figured while I'm out, okay, it's already a madhouse out there. Like normally, the only time you, yeah, I mean, I was just like at, you know, Target and Costco and HEB, but the only time you can get anything done in Austin is like 10 a.m. It's typically when the traffic is low. You know, people have gotten to work. It's nuts out there. So good luck, everybody. Plan ahead. Hope you're able to, you know, maybe order some stuff for delivery.
You can't be a procrastinator when it comes to holiday shopping. That's where they get you. I understand, you know, last minute. Oh, I forgot cousin Johnny needed something. He'll be with us this year. Let's go get him, you know, a plunger. I don't know what we give.
Yeah.
Christmas. My wife
is Johnny a plunger. He needs it.
He needs it. You know, his toilet been clogged up. He's been needing it for a while. See, I don't know nothing about Christmas shopping. My wife, she do all that for me.
She oh, that's good. Me. So she even buys her own presents from you?
Oh, no, you got to worry about that. That's different.
Oh.
But as far as everybody else,
yeah,
you know, I ask mom and dad, hey, what y'all want? What y'all like? They give me the old, we don't need anything. We get something for them anyway. It's just, you know, it's very consistent each and every Christmas. But, yeah, let wifey handle that. And I do my own thing. Hold on. This can't be breaking news already.
Come on. It is breaking news. My man Eric Henry put something out about Leonga Lefau not being at practice, that his locker was cleared out, and then everybody jumped in. And sure enough, Leonga Lefau, it appears, is set to hit the transfer portal. He's got a couple of suitors coming hard for him, and I guess they're willing to offer more than what is in the Texas budget, which I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one because LaFau's a program guy going into his senior year. You know, I see that look on your face.
Yeah, I'm shocked. This is one I did not see coming, man. Like, you're the man next year. Ant Hill's gone. You're that guy. This is what you've been waiting on. You just said it, program guy. I get Jeff Choate left, but it seemed like the Johnny Nansen, Polynesia thing. We haven't done this in a while, but what happened to that? You know, Polynesian Whisperer. Ain't that what Leonga Lefau is? No disrespect. I'm just trying to figure it out here, trying to get my facts correct. Wow, this is shocking.
Yeah, yeah, this one, this is a blow. So right now for your Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, you know, unless you move Brad Spence, which you could, you'd have Ty Anthony Smith and Elijah Bo Barnes. Maybe Marshall Landwehr, who's a good player, got a scholarship after being a walk-on, to get you through the bowl game. But, yeah, this is a more significant is a more significant blow to the roster, and one that I don't think the coaches anticipated. So he was.
Yeah, like, were they shocked in the exit meeting? Like, did he come in there like, I'm leaving? And they were like, what the hell? Where'd this come from? Like, how bad did that exit meeting go? What's his major? Is there not like anything, hey, we know your major is, let's say, McCombs Business School. Connections. Put them in with people to where if that NFL career doesn't last, we know the stats on that, 3 and out, most likely. If you're lucky, you got 3 years and then you're out the league. If you can make it that second contract, bless you. Congratulations. That's a big deal. But man, you would think that, and I don't know how hard they fought for him. I don't know, because you're saying there are suitors out there, and I don't know what Leonga LaFalle's situation is. You know, maybe he got Uncle Elroy he got to take care of. Cousin Johnny he got to take care of. I don't know. Speculation.
Yeah, his
that all day. But
his family, you know, is still out in Hawaii. They are, you know, they're not well off. Hardworking family. And, you know, he was courted pretty seriously by USC and Oregon coming out of high school. Those programs are obviously a lot closer to home for him. So we'll see. This is obviously breaking. It broke right before we came on the air. Yeah. Eric's had it all morning. He put out, you know, the fact that his locker was cleared out, he wasn't at practice, and then everybody jumped in. So, yeah, this is a wowzer, because, and, you know, this is that time of year where everything's moving 100 miles an hour. DJ Lagway announced he's going into the portal. If you're John Summerall at Florida, man, you better hang on tight.
Our guy Chris Hummer said that exit meeting went horrible with John Summerall. Which, shout out to John Summerall. He's one of my favorite guys now because he gave back $100,000 to Tulane to help their NIL fund with the money that he's getting at Florida. That is a perfect way to go out. That's a perfect, and you're coaching them and all that. He is doing that the right way. But yeah, DJ Lagway, you know, DJ Lagway was asking for more paper, more freedom. And you got to put your foot down if you John Summerall. Hey, man, we're going to do things different. I ain't Billy Napier. Where he at right now? I ain't him.
James well, and some of the,
he is, but.
Some of the schools mentioned for DJ Lagway, Miami, Baylor, LSU.
Yo, man, John was. John called Baylor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's from Willis, Texas.
Yeah, John's been calling for months for DJ Lagway. He was hoping that whole thing went wrong.
Yeah. Well, and I saw where Lane Kiffin was retweeting that Lagway was going into the portal. So, you know, messy Lane.
Yeah, messy Lane, which I feel him.
Yeah, man. He's not hiding his intentions.
Yeah, that's only what, a 2.5 hour drive? Willis, Texas, Baton Rouge. Yeah, that ain't nothing. Kenfolk can be there and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's amazing. Fans, I love fans. And I love our message board at Horns 24/7 because, like, Arch Manning started following Jaden Baugh. And Jaden Baugh started following Arch Manning over the weekend. And so now everyone's like, hey, what can we glean from this? So now everybody's like on pins and needles, hoping that that Jaden Baugh, you know, might be following his old running backs coach Jabbar Jalouk to Texas. We shall see. Portal opens on January 2nd, but it's not keeping guys from announcing their intentions to enter the portal.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Derek Williams much last week either. That one hurts. I can't say I'm as surprised with that one as I am the Leonga LaFalle. But damn, Derek Williams, go back to 2023. That dude was a difference maker. Hell, yeah. In 2024, he was a difference maker up until his knee injury. He was making plays. Him and Andrew Mukuba, they were splitting reps. It wasn't like Andrew Mukuba just stole the job. Like Andrew Mukuba, due to the injury that Derek Williams got in 24, that's how he started, you know, to solidify himself as the guy. But Derek Williams had so much upside, man. And then this year, you just didn't see it. Whether it was, you know, the new coaches coming in, Dwayne Aquino, Mark Orfe, Terrence Joseph left, Blake Gideon left. Those are the guys that recruited you that you came in to be with. So we all know, who knows how that went. CJ Baxter, Jared Gibson with Chad Scott, for example. But yeah, like you would think Derek Williams, he couldn't find that same just momentum that he had as freshman and began the sophomore year. And then I thought, okay, cool. Had a horrible knee injury. Just like most players, they need a whole year to get back from it and to actually be right and feel comfortable. Hell, Rory Harmon is a prime example of that. She looks completely different this year than she did last year where she was just getting over her ACL injury. So Derek Williams, same thing. And now we won't be able to see that because my man's in the portal, which is tough. That's a tough one, man. But we wish him the best.
Yeah. Yeah, Derek Williams. His situation reminds me a little bit of Jalen Catalan's situation where Catalan got hurt, came back, and Michael Taft had sort of moved up into, you know, that starting role, and Catalan was like, well, F it, I'm out of here. You know, you're seeing Xavier Filsimi start to move up. But there was look, I know Texas is trying to hang on to Jelani McDonald. But if Derek Williams saw or felt that the coaches were leaning toward Jelani McDonald and Xavier Filsimi as the starting safeties for 2026, then Derek Williams is going to go try and get himself a starting position somewhere to try to live his dream. And who can blame him? I mean, we've seen guys move on and get an opportunity and make the most of it. Look at Fernando Mendoza, for crying out loud.
He redeemed himself for me, Chip. That weird ass speech after the Big Ten championship, his speech at the Heisman, he redeemed himself. He needed to. That was a lot better for them, though. And I get it. The emotions are high. You beat Ohio State. You were the underdog. The emotions were through the roof. He was composed. He was speaking in Espanol, had mama crying, speaking to the grandparents that don't
know. Yeah, he's Cubano.
Yeah. Yeah,
first,
I love
this. First Cuban-American.
Rose crying and stuff. Meanwhile, Pavia, the opposite of that, saying F the voters. That's you, Chip. He talking to you.
Hey, man, I put him on my ballot.
So he ain't talking about you?
I had Fernando number one.
Diego, he ain't talking about you.
I had Diego number two. And I had Gunnar Stockton, number three. Yeah, so Diego was saying F you to me. But then he apologized.
He apologized. Do you take the apology?
I just wish him the best of luck.
What do you mean?
It's not about me.
Kinda.
I know he's mad. He can say whatever he wants about me.
It kinda is about you.
I just don't want him to cost himself money.
I knew you were going to say that.
You know me. I'm trying to look out for my guys' pockets.
Cost them money and where? Canada?
I mean, he could be an endorsement guy. Remember Johnny Football had Snickers commercials?
He's going to be on them progressive backup quarterback commercials.
Okay. That's fine.
That's the best he's going
to do. I don't want him to lose out on the progressive auto commercials. I just want him to, you know, get what he can get. He deserves it. He worked his butt off. He transformed a program, turned him into a 10-win program. Vanderbilt used to be seen as the the, you know, the gum on the bottom of your shoe. Yeah, I don't want him to lose that. Actually, he's probably making himself some money.
He's making money. He's
making money in the WWE.
Straight up. Oh, that's funny. Yo, look how small he is.
I know.
They lying about 6 foot. He's a good 5'9". On a good day, he's a good 5'9". Yeah, he was wilding the whole weekend. He knew he wasn't going to win. Why didn't anybody let him know? He has a bad camp. He has a bad camp. Too many yes men around him. He's going to have to, you know, nip that down. Because somebody needed to tell him, hey, man, whatever happens tonight, you're a winner. Don't get too crazy. Like, understand that Fernando, even though the stats aren't crazy, you got to go with the guy that underdog. Indiana's never been here before. Kurt Cignetti, they're number one in the nation. You ain't going to win it. Somebody should have just been straight up with him. You ain't going to win it. You have no shot. To avoid all this, because this could have been avoided, you know? Just go in there and have a good time. Everything, like, have fun. Hang out with people, shake hands, like network a little bit, just put on a smiley face. Because
you're echoing what I'm saying.
I am, because that was sad and that was a shame. You know me, I like Diego Pavia. I really do. He earned a lot of respect for me this year, but he went back to that old Johnny Manziel peeing on the opposing team's, you know, logo on the field.
New Mexico Military Institute.
Yeah, I thought we were past that. And I'm mad as hell. Mama won there. I didn't see her once.
Yeah, I didn't see her.
Did you see her?
I didn't see her.
Because she knew. She knew. What was the point? What was the point of going to see my son lose? She should have been there. But, yeah, she didn't go.
Maybe she found a hot date.
What does that mean, man?
I don't know. You're always, you know, checking up on her. That's
easy for her because, man, what a woman. But, yeah, come on, Diego. We got to be better. But shout out to Fernando Mendoza.
If you're just tuning in, lots of overreaction Monday nuggets. Leonga LaFau. It appears to be headed for the transfer portal. And that was not one that Texas was expecting. So good for Leonga LaFau if he's getting a big old offer somewhere and that's good for him. If it's better to be closer to home, Hawaii, I don't know.
It better not be BYU. I'm going to be hot. That seems like BYU all over it. They love them Polynesian brothers. They love them dudes. Keanu Sitake, like, it's easy. That's easy. And they just throwing money around. Mormon Wives is blowing up. Utah's hot right now. I just watched AJ DeBanza drop 28.
Yeah, I saw AJ. He's looking pretty good.
Yeah, man. BYU Provo is popping right now.
Well, we'll see. And we'll see what where Leonga LaFau ends up. And yeah, people are speculating, you know, what does this mean about Johnny Nansen? Well, I haven't heard anything about Johnny Nansen at this point, but hell, if the Poly Whisperer's losing Polynesians, you know, if this has gone,
that's tough to have that day.
I guess we gotta check everything out. We gotta run all the channels. Hey, Ali Pop, not only to Fernando Mendoza, your Heisman Trophy winner, but to Michael Taft for winning the Werfel Trophy, the highest, most highly regarded college football trophy for, you know, community service, athletic and academic excellence. Sam Acho won that award in 2010. So Olipop to Michael Taft and Olipop to the Texas women's basketball team. They beat Baylor worse than they've beaten them in 25 years. They beat them, what, 89 to 54? And Baylor led early. They led, you know, 9-4. And Jordan Lee, man. Couple of steals. Taya Sidbury with a steal. Next thing you know, it's, you know, Jordan Lee's getting out on the fast break. It leads to a 16-0 run in the first quarter, and Texas never looked back. I don't think Baylor got closer than 14 in the final three quarters. So Texas women have wins over top 13 teams in four of their last seven games, with the wins over UCLA, South Carolina, North Carolina, and now Baylor. And this was in the Sprouts Farmers Market ESPNW Invitational in Dickies Arena in Fort Worth, and the players got NIL money for playing in this game. So good for them. Roy Harmon was silently amazing in this game. Like, her defense was central. She was contributing to the pressure that led to 30 turnovers by Baylor. 30. Texas won the points off turnovers 42-2. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. So, man, Olipop. And breaking news. Looks like Ashton Judd will play limited minutes on Wednesday night.
Yes.
And we'll probably not see Breonna Preston or Aaliyah Crump until after Christmas.
It's all right.
It's all right.
That's all right. I mean,
think about it. They've been out during all these top 13 wins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Judd's been out all year. Crump has been out seven games, and Bree has been out eight games.
Yeah. And there's zero pressure on them because they're winning without them. So however long they need to get acclimated back into the game and what Vic Schaefer needs from them, hey, take your time, because Book's good. Madison Booker, Jordan Lee's good.
Madison Booker, good. I mean, follows up a triple-double. Fifth player in Texas women's basketball history to record a triple-double in that win over UT Rio Grande Valley on Wednesday. She follows that up with 27 points against Baylor. Five rebounds, eight assists, three steals. Madison Booker is on fire.
The game's so easy for her. Like, she's not really, it looks like she's not playing hard, but she's playing hard as hell. But she just glides out there. She's always in the right spot. She's more athletic than anybody on the court. She can get her shot off on anybody. And now she's not settling. She had two left-hand finishes on the right side yesterday that were as skilled as you're going to see in college basketball. Just getting to her spots at will, defense in the offense. I know Vic Schaefer does this God bless Hook'em Horns thing, and we know he's a wonderful man, beautiful man. Vic Schaefer is a killer. Praise the Lord, Hook'em Horns. He is sending a message to everyone in college basketball. Everyone. Because he could lay off a little bit. When they go up 20, they don't have to keep playing full court man, denying the ball. He doesn't do that. It's the fourth quarter, like 3 minutes to go. They're still playing full court, intense man-to-man D. And if you're the opposing team, you're like, man, let's just get this game over with. Like Baylor, they were so deflated, and they did lose their best player yesterday pretty early. What's her name? Scott. She averages like 23 a game. She could ball. She rolled her ankle early, and you know, when something like that happens to your best player and you're playing a team like Texas, it could go off the rails really fast. And that's exactly what happened. But again, they just, the intensity that this team plays with constantly, like Justice Carlton had four steals, you know, now Brad Cunningham is starting to figure out, okay, I know what Vic Schaefer needs from me. I know the style and intensity that I have to play with every game. I'm good now. It took her a little bit, but she's figured it out. Same with Taya Sidberry. Taya Sidberry had a nasty fake pass Euro step for a layup off of a steal that, man, if your fifth, sixth player is doing things like that, your team's deep. This team is deep. And now Ashton Judd, her coming back, might be the best three-point shooter on this team. And that says a lot with Jordan Lee being on the squad and Madison Booker. If she can find the flow, look out. I'm telling you, this national championship or bust. And I saw CB say, why is Texas not number one over UConn? UConn, they got a tough schedule too. They won the national championship last year too. Texas won't be able to override them unless if UConn loses. If UConn continues to win, they're going to stay at number one, especially since Gino is the coach of that team. But they're going to stay at number one. He's earned that. They've earned that as being that blue blood. And I'm sure Vic Schaefer, they're perfectly fine being number two.
Hey.
Number one, you got that bullseye on your back. You don't need that.
Nowhere to go but down.
Yeah, let them have it. Let them have it. You still got LSU and South Carolina to play. Aliyah Chavez been balling for Oklahoma, their top 10 team. You got to play them in the SEC schedule. So there's a lot of basketball to play. Let's get these girls healthy and, yeah, continue to hoop. But, yeah, way better game than what Texas men's basketball showed on Friday against UConn.
Yeah. We'll get to that in just a second because I saw a comment saying hope the Texas women's basketball team is not on the same narrative as the women's volleyball team. Listen, the women's volleyball team, they ran into a buzzsaw. Wisconsin, a team that Texas volleyball beat 3-0 back in August up in Madison. They got incredible production from their stud, Mimi Collier, who only had 14 kills and 10 errors in their first meeting. And then last night she had 23 kills and 6 errors. She got what she wanted. Wisconsin has a 6'7" middle blocker who they assigned to Tori Stafford. They had 3 defenders on Tori Stafford to just take her out of the game and force Kari Spears and freshman Abby Vanderwall to step up. And they did, but it took too long. And man, Wisconsin shares the ball. They were the better team. So, you know, on a day where Texas A&M knocked off undefeated Nebraska, everybody had Nebraska winning the national championship, undefeated, playing at home in Lincoln, and A&M goes in there and takes them down. So now A&M will play Pitt, I believe, for on Thursday in the Final Four in Kansas City, and Wisconsin will play Kentucky. And Texas had played Kentucky twice this year, lost to them twice. But this, look, that was a great run. They destroyed Indiana. And their best players, you know, Tori Stafford will be back. Kari Spears is back. Abby Vanderwall is back. They lose Emma Halter, their stud libero, who, you know, dives around, saves balls, you know, from hitting the deck. But yeah, I thought it was a good season. Nothing to be ashamed of. Wisconsin. That Mimi Collier was at Oregon last year, and she's a National Player of the Year contender. She's a stud. Yeah, Swagoo, he was there. The men's swim team was there. Every time the women got going, the men's swim team would strip down to their Speedos. Kind of a cool tradition there at Gregory. So, yeah, It was a good season.
And, you know, that's what Coach Elliott has established for Texas volleyball. Any year you don't win a national championship is a disappointment. And that's what Chris Del Conte wants for all the programs. And as good as they were, it just wasn't good enough to get to the Final Four. And even though they had a good squad and they're young and stuff, you just got to keep on scrapping. And shout out to Wisconsin. They're blue blood, too. Like, they're always in the midst of a national championship, too. And when they don't win one, they have that same feeling. Like, damn, this was a lost season. So, yeah, it just sucks that here we are. A&M is advancing and Texas isn't. Just like in football. Like, that sucks.
That was crazy. I mean, wow. Yeah, kudos to A&M. A&M beat Texas. 3-2 earlier in this season. A&M's for real. I mean, obviously, they just beat the unbeatable.
Nebraska's too cocky. Like, I've been seeing their clips around social media about how, you know, they couldn't wait to play Texas in the national championship game. It's like, ladies, you better handle your business first. Because Texas beat them in the Natty a few years ago. Like, you got to handle your business first. You cannot look ahead in anything. Like, I get it. That's very easy to do. And yeah, you got to have confidence to be successful in any sport, but you also got to be humble too and respect your opponent because they got confidence too. So yeah, that little light skinned girl that was crying her ass off for Nebraska, you feel for her, but there's also videos around her just dogging Texas, like not even saying Texas's name, saying, yeah, we want that team. That's all we think about. You know, this, that, and the third.
Right. Well, Olipop to Kari Spears, the Texas women's volleyball team, Elite Eight. You know, it's not a national championship, but I didn't think this team was quite ready yet. You know, and they need to find a girl like Carter Booth. I mean, that 6'7" girl for Wisconsin, she was all over Torrey Stafford, and you know, having that kind of length in the middle block, Wisconsin's going to be tough for Kentucky. That's going to be a really good matchup. But Olipop to Kari Spears, Abby Vanderwall, the Texas women's volleyball team on a
– Emma Halter, man, legend.
Emma Halter. Everyone's going to miss Emma Halter. She was on the 22 and 23 national championship teams.
Two-time champ, legend.
Come on, man. All right, so Dave Atchley says, what does that make the over-under for the portal players needed for Texas football? 3-4 offensive linemen, 1-2 running backs, 1-2 defensive secondary, 1 speed slot receiver, 1-2 linebackers. Yeah. Yeah. That's about right. Probably 1 defensive tackle because you're losing Travis Shaw and Cole Brevard. So, you know, I think Josiah Sharma moves up just as Terry moves up. But you don't want to put it all on those guys. You want them into the rotation. You don't want to, you know, you're hoping you have Hero Canoe back. Not quite sure yet. But yeah, I think you'll see a receiver for sure. Keep an eye on Nick Marsh out of Michigan State, 6'3", kind of looks and plays a lot like Cam Coleman at Auburn. Everybody wants these guys, so we'll see what that looks like in terms of budget. But yeah, you needed a linebacker to replace Anthony Hill, and now if Leonga LaFau's out the door, you definitely are going to have to go to the portal for 2 frontline guys. And for sure a running back, at least 1. And you're going to need interior offensive linemen. If you're able to hang on to Trevor Goosby and Brandon Baker, you're trying to hang on to Connor Robertson, but Connor Robertson wants to know what all are you bringing in? Cause Am I wasting my time?
Robinson wasn't great enough for him to be the guy that said, okay, we're good at center. Like, nah, if there's somebody better than Connor Robinson, sorry, buddy, but that's the game.
Yeah, and
he
may say, you know, I'm good. I got my degree from Texas. Maybe now I go see what else is out there. Yeah. But
and let's keep it the buck, too. It's like Leongo the Foul, you wanted him back because he's one of the OG guys, and you expected him to make a big jump that he did not make this year, which I expected him to make that jump from sophomore year to junior year. It didn't happen, but whatever. He ain't Junior Seau. So this ain't the biggest loss. It's just a shocking loss because you just thought he'd be a part of the grind still. And he'd be one of those guys that would start here and finish here. So I do think there's better linebackers out there. But, again, just shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. is Lexi's son still dating Mo Bamba? Remember that? Lexi's son from the women's volleyball team.
That's a throwback.
She was dating Mo Bamba when she was here?
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. so, yeah, okay. Well, listen. My Lions are toast. The Cowboys, what the hell was that? You had the Minnesota Vikings in your building. Of course, I picked the Cowboys.
I'm an idiot.
Of course, I picked the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they are rolling.
Yo, Trevor Lawrence, man. He looked good.
5 TDs passing, 1 rushing.
I can't even front. Hair flowing in the wind.
The last quarterback to throw for 5 TDs and run for 1 was Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints way back. So that was something else. And the Houston Texans looking good, baby.
Yeah, that was Cardinals, no problem.
Light work.
They needed that game. They needed to see their offense get in the end zone. Even though it's the Cardinals, get that offense some confidence because that defense, they're going to be ready to ride every Sunday. And it was cold as hell throughout the NFL yesterday. Everything was in the teens or in the single digits. Now, who's a real man? December, January come around. Who's a real man who could take that, you know, frigid air and still go out and produce?
Well, let me tell you who didn't produce. Patrick Mahomes, ACL.
Damn.
Davante Adams, hammy.
Yeah, that's
not Micah Parsons. Yeah, yesterday was a rough day, man. Like a lot of playoff. Well, Mahomes and the Chiefs weren't going to get there. But Micah Parsons and the Bears keep winning? What in the hell?
That fourth.
Now I have to cheer for the Bears. They're playing against the Packers. I need the Packers to collapse. And the Lions to somehow scratch and claw their way in the back door. Because what did John Brown tell us? The Lions would have to score 40 to beat the Rams. They would have had to score 42. And the Lions were doing it. The defense couldn't do a thing with Puka Nacua and Matt Stafford in that aerial attack. That Lions defense in the secondary is just atrocious. I mean, they're out there trying. That dude, Reed, number 4, he was getting worked because Stafford was throwing lasers. The Rams looked good. How about your boy, Phillip Rivers? You called it. You said, give me the Colts plus 13.5.
Yeah.
And Phillip Rivers, old man Rivers, he may have tripped over the midfield logo at one point, but
right.
Yeah, he was moving the ball.
Yeah, he wobbling out there. That's for sure. Like that dude, talk about husky. He's put on a lot of LBs, but the arm, that release.
That little.
It still gets where it needs to go.
Hey, I mean, he kind of did his job. Like he led them to the go-ahead field goal, and then the Colts defense couldn't keep Seattle from going and kicking the game winner.
Shane Steichen's game management at the end was awful. It was bad. It was bad how he managed the game. And Mike McDonald, he was way better at managing the game. And yeah, when you kick a field goal and you have less than a minute left, you expect your defense to get a stop, but that doesn't happen. They had my man Phillip crying there on the podium. He gave his heart for the team, everything. All he wanted was the dub, letting his boys know that he coaches. Hey, if coach could go do it, why not you? That whatever high school he coaches at, they got to win state next year. Just for motivation alone, they have no choice. How can you not be inspired by my man Phillip Rivers and what he did?
Well, that was still crazy. They're still kicking around trying to figure it out.
Yeah, they're done. And Carly Ursay, you need to go up and to the coaching staff and let them know ain't no way Anthony Richardson's starting this week. Hell no. Hell no.
Anthony Richardson.
He's supposed to be back, Chip. He's supposed to be healthy. That's an easy choice. You go with Phillip. I don't give a damn how old he is.
What happened to Riley Leonard?
Nah, he ain't ready.
He ain't ready?
Nah, he ain't ready.
He ain't ready?
Yeah, he ain't ready. You go with Phillip. Don't be stupid. Don't lose your team, Shane Steichen and everybody involved. Carly Ursay, you're going to have to put that heel down. You're going to have to put them Louis Vuittons down. And let them know you ain't having it. Because you're going to have exit meetings when the season's over with. You don't want this on your resume, Shane Steichen. We had playoff aspirations. We still had a chance. You start Anthony Richardson over Phillip Rivers. You saw the way those guys were rallying around Phillip yesterday. Don't bring Anthony Richardson back and mess that up. And he's rusty? Nah.
You are way too invested in the Indianapolis Colts.
How could you not be? This is the best show. This is the best show in the league.
Yes. The best show in the league is the freaking Chicago Bears, for God's sake. What is going on? I mean,
look who they're playing. What do you mean?
I know. But then they beat good teams. They beat the Eagles. They beat – I don't know what the hell's going on. But Ben Johnson – it's between Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel for Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
It's a two-man race.
And both teams are very synonymous one another. Fourth-place schedules.
Yeah.
Like, somebody has to be good. Somebody has to capitalize on it. Both guys got good coaches. And Caleb Williams, shout out to him. Solid sophomore year. Like, the dude, it was about 5 degrees down there. Chicago. He was still zipping that thing around.
He said, I can make any throw.
I feel him. Painted nails and all. Zipping that thing around.
Hey, the Bears are finally in the plus points differential. They were winning all these games and getting outscored. Now they're finally plus 27. Amazing. The Lions are plus 83 in points differential, and they're 8-6 and probably out of the playoffs because the NFC West is going crazy. You got 11-3 LA Rams, 11-3 Seattle Seahawks, and 10-4 49ers.
Yo, watch out for San Francisco. Brock Purdy, he acting different. This ain't the same Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy doing the Dougie and stuff, dancing, having a good time. He had a run yesterday, Chip, and he's about to run out of bounds. He puts the ball in front of the defender's face to taunt him a little bit, and then he apologized afterwards because he knew he was wilding. Because, you know, that's not Brock Purdy, but is it? It might be. Like, I think that injury changed him. I really do. He's playing with a lot more swagger, and Kyle Shanahan and the rest of the 49ers, they are rolling with it. I would not want to play San Fran right now. everybody's healthy at the right time, and they find in that groove. And no one's really talking about them either, which I'm sure they love that.
No one's talking about Jacksonville either. Jacksonville's 10-4.
Good spot.
They've won 5 in a row. Texans have won 6 in a row. They're 9-5. But then you got like these dregs divisions, like the AFC North, where Pittsburgh's going to play the Dolphins tonight. You got that as one of your picks. By the way, you're 2-1 in your picks. You had Indy, which was a winner. You had Buffalo over the Patriots, which was a winner.
That a boy.
Kansas City, you had, that was a loser. But I had Denver, that was a winner. The Cowboys, that was a loser. Carolina was a loser, and Jacksonville was a winner. So I went 2-2. You still have a chance to go 3-1. You have the Steelers tonight against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I expect Pittsburgh to handle their business. Mike Tomlin, 9-8 every year. Limp into the playoffs, lose first round, come back for your 20th year. Like nothing happened. Like nothing happened. The Carolina Saints game, come on, man. Carolina, they're in perfect position to win it. Tyler Shuck running the ball. He's sliding. Let him slide. Watch him slide. Just watch him. All you got to do is put your head down. He slides. The ref blows the whistle. You ain't even got to touch him. You ain't even got to touch him. They protect the quarterback. But no, we're in the NFL. Somehow we don't know the rules. Let's dive at them. Let's dive in clutch time. Let's dive at Tyler Shuck of all people. It'd be different if it was Patrick Mahomes, Josh Lamar, Allen.
Right. Lamar Jackson. Lamar
Jackson, exactly. You catching my drift, Chip. That's why this show works, because you feel me? The fool, it's Tyler Shuck. I have no respect for Tyler Shuck. No offense, Tyler. Who's playing decent football right now, but he has to earn that. I ain't diving at you, Tyler. I'm not afraid of your legs if I'm an NFL defender. I'm not. I'm not going to dive at you. And that's just a lot of energy. But no, homeboy dives at him. Laundry comes out. 15 extra yards. Field goal position. Ball game. Just like
ball
that.
Ball game.
Just like
2 that. Seconds left.
Yeah, whoever dove at him, you know who you are. I don't know your name because I ain't going to dog you like that. If somebody on the text line wants to put his name up, I will highly appreciate that. But it's on you, bro. If the Panthers don't make the playoffs, everybody's going to think about that play. That's sports. That's sports. But you got to be smarter than that. Too many people are putting in too much time to try to get wins each and every Sunday. Like, everybody's trying to save their jobs. Everybody's just trying to stay afloat and have a job. Carolina has not had much success over the last few years. Jake Delhomme, Steve Smith, they ain't walking through that door anytime soon. So it sucks to see a team that has been overachieving and have one player, which I'm one of those, where you're not, one play doesn't define a whole game. But within 2 minutes left, you got to be as locked in as ever because everyone remembers the last 2 minutes, no matter what sport it is.
That was on Ransom.
Mm.
Isn't that the Ohio State rookie?
Oh, you're a rookie too. See, and that's you're a rookie. All you're trying to do is prove that you're playing hard. I'm playing hard, coach. I'm giving everything I got. I want more reps. So in that sense, I can't blame the dude for trying, but you got to be smart. You got to understand the situation. It's Tyler Shuck. and Tyler Shuck, he sold the hell out of it because it wasn't that bad of a hit. I've seen a lot worse. Tyler Shuck, he got hit. He put his hands up, and then he rolled over and started flopping around like a fish out of water, like he's just concussed and the CTE already hitting him and stuff. And it's like, hey, I would have sold it too. You got to make it believable. Let's get that laundry out. 15-plus yards, ball game.
Look at this. Dave Ashley says, Bamba, since 2018, has been dating Ibby Fisher, college basketball player from Shanghai, China, in a long-distance relationship. Damn, he's coming after you, Zay. That's some TMZ type information.
Yo, Dave, I appreciate it, man. Like, I don't know where you found that. Long distance is crazy. But some people make it work. He has a lot of trust in old Mo, though. And Mo could be a good man. Mo could be very loyal, very trustworthy. Every time they walk into that lobby and them girls are running around, you know. But when you got a song named after you, very popular song that you hear every Saturday around the nation in these beautiful stadiums. I'm sure Mo has a lot of temptation. That's all I'm saying. But I hope the relationship's working.
Coach 420 says, I had Trevor Lawrence, Kyle Pitts, James Cook, and Bijan help me win my round one fantasy matchup. Yeah.
That's big.
Way to go.
Yeah, shout out to Bijan Robinson for getting hit for saying the homophobic slur, which he had no idea what it was. That's one of those.
Wait, what?
Thursday night football after the win. Somehow they started talking about that game that you play, you know, in the neighborhood. It's called Smear the Homophobic Slur. You remember, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Bijan just said it. Now, it's Bijan, so I don't think Bijan really knows what that word means. Smear the homophobic
slur. Was he like talking about a childhood memory?
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, yeah, y'all remember playing those games. And then Bijan was like, yeah, smear the. And I was like, ooh. And he had to apologize. He just, again, it's Bijan Robinson. This guy is the most class act.
Oh, yeah.
The guy you're ever going to find. Like, I legitimately think he has no idea what he was talking about. Like, it was one of those, like, oh, right. My gosh, I didn't even know that's what that meant. Type of thing, you know, Rodney, he might, yes, but I don't, it's Bijan. I really don't think he was aware at all. Like,
right. He was just thinking about the name of
the
game that he played as a kid.
Yeah. Like it's just
not realizing, oh, by the way, we are 20 years past that. And we're in the age of political correctness. So you just.
Yes.
But I don't know what they call it now. What do they call that game now?
Either. Yeah. I don't know what they call it either, to be honest.
Yeah.
But.
Shout
out to Bijan, though. Finally, they win.
Shout out to Bijan.
Raheem Morris still needs to be fired, though. Let's fire
who?
Raheem Morris. I'm tired of him. I'm over him.
You're done with it?
I'm done with it. You know, I don't want a brother to not have a job, but also I can't see Bijan's years wasted like this. Like this is, and look, the Michael Penix thing, that set him back. Like you give him the keys. He's supposed to be the man. He tears his ACL again, which, hey guys, I don't know about you, but a part of the whole draft process is looking at his health history, which sucks. His health history is one of the worst I've ever seen. Like the dude was almost 30 years old his senior year because he had to get medical redshirted so many times when he was in Indiana with Kurt Cignetti. So him tearing a third ACL in his second year in the league, it's not shocking to anyone. And they go out after they pay Kirk Cousins $100 million, which was stupid then. They go out and they pick up Michael Penix, number 8 or whatever the hell he went, like in the first round, which he threw it all over Texas. Yeah, but I don't think he was all that. So, yeah, Raheem Morris.
He was all that in that game against Texas.
Right.
That was the best. That was one of the best performances I've ever seen live from a throwing the ball down the field standpoint because he was hitting everything. Yeah. It drove your boy Terrence Brooks to have that look in his face.
No, he wasn't ready to play in that game.
He wasn't ready to play in that game.
He wasn't ready to play in that game. He wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready to play in that game.
No, we knew he wasn't ready.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Coach 420 wants to know what you thought of that UConn game on Friday. Texas men lost to UConn, and I mean, probably a better showing than a lot of people expected, Zay.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I keep going back and forth on how I look at that game and dissect it. Because on one hand, yes, there's a lot to be happy about. Playing a quality team like UConn, you did a lot of things well. You gave yourself a chance. You made life hard for them. You know, you're in a tough environment, and you only lose by 8. On another note, Dan Hurley is such a good basketball mind that even on a bad day, what did they want Texas to have that type of game? And what I mean by that is look at Mathis and Dalen Swain. They were the reasons why you lose that game. They're the two best players for Texas, and they were awful. They just were. Dalen Swain, you can't miss those free throws, bro. And this goes back to the Arizona State game where he missed that clutch one that, you know, you could argue lost them that game. He goes 3 from 8 from the free throw line here. He only has 9 points. Same with Mathis. Both guys don't get over 10 shots. So that's what I mean by if I'm Dan Hurley and I'm game planning for Texas, I know Swain and Mathis are their best players. So I'm going to take them out the game and say, let's let everyone beat us. And if everyone else goes for that, Tremont Mark, it might look like he has a good game. Cool. We want that because it means Dalen Swain is taking less shots. Oh, Jordan Pope, he had a really good game. Cool. We want that because it means instead of feeding the post and getting Mathis involved and getting our bigs in foul trouble, Jordan Pope's out here shooting it. Now Mathis doesn't have a rhythm. So it's – I'm.
And how many assists did Jordan Pope have? One.
One assist. And he's your point guard. So that's what I mean by – it's very hard for me to look at this game. So I'm going to be
positive. By the way, UConn had 23 assists. Texas had 7.
It's not good.
They don't share the ball.
Yeah. And they gave up like 8 open layups and dunks and half court on defense. And it's like, how are y'all giving these easy looks up? They keep doing the same things. If you're going to overplay a team that plays a 5-out set like UConn does and has that much movement, they're going to take what you give them. Cool. You're going to guard the outside. We're going to go inside. And we're just going to cut. And the person who's setting the screen, sometimes they'll set the screen and then roll to the basket or slip. And sometimes they won't even do that. They just pick and choose based on what the defense has given them, based on the matchups on the defense. Okay, I'm Caravan. I'm setting the screen on a smaller Simeon Wiltshire. I'm 6'8", 6'9". I'm setting the pick on 6'1". I'm going to slip to the hole because regardless of what happens, if he sticks with me, I'm going to have the advantage on the inside, which is then going to make Texas overly help. And they're just going to be in the bind the whole game. They did that about 7 or 8 times, especially in the first half. And then when it gets close, it's 61-56, the solo ball, desperation 3, ball game. That's it. You're within 5 points. Caravan throws an ill-advised pass. It forces solo ball to go chase it towards half court. He grabs it, shot clock going down, throws up a 40-foot heave. Bang, Dalen Swain's face, 8-point game. They come down, get another stop. It leads to an Alex Caravan 3, 11-point game. 3 minutes to go. Just 2 of those big-time plays. You're right there. But those plays, they were killers, which makes you feel pretty good because Those were, well, not the Caravan three, but the Soto ball three. That was so deflating. That was such a lucky shot that if that doesn't happen, where does the game go? Because Texas, they still have a shot. So, I they play it hard, but Swain and Mathis, they can't have those types of games. They just can't.
And Texas missed 10 layups. They missed 10 layups.
Yeah.
Like Lucina Traore misses a layup with 6:23 left that would have cut it to five.
I'll continue to say, Chip, the power forward position is giving you nothing.
He missed another layup with 5:15 left that would have cut it to five. I mean, he missed.
Yeah.